Before I get started, a couple things I wanted to just kind of emphasize and celebrate. First of all, I was talking with Jim Alloway a little while ago, and he helped set up the Fresh Express, which is the produce giveaway that we do here at Deer Park around once a month, once every couple months. But anyway, there were over 600 people served yesterday through the Fresh Express that we had here at Deer Park. That's exciting to me because two reasons. Number one, the folks here that are out serving, helping meet the needs in our community. But there's 600 people that today, over 600 people that have fresh vegetables and fruit in their home because of the way that you all have given and have served. So that's one of those things I think we need to celebrate as we look at being the kingdom, being kingdom people. Another thing that I do want to draw your attention to, and Lee mentioned this earlier, is this Friday night for our veterans and for your spouses. Every year on Sunday, we will recognize our veterans and the service that you have given to us. There's no way we can truly thank you for the sacrifice that you and your family have made. But this is the first year that we've done a dinner, a Veterans Appreciation Dinner. And I hope, and I'm asking you, if you have served, come and let us celebrate your service, to appreciate the service that you've given to each one of us, to our nation. One of the speaker who's coming is near and dear to my heart. He was one of the mentors that Matthew had his last year at the Citadel, Colonel Thomas Clark. Colonel Clark is a retired Marine aviator, and he is a follower of Jesus, so I look forward to having him here and to celebrate with us. So please call and let us know that you're going to be here. As we have gone through the last many months, most of this year, I've really had two focuses in the sermon, two series, so to speak. The first one is Follow Me. And that was Jesus' invitation to those first followers. These guys, they were fishermen. They were out doing their job. They were just working. They were going about life as normal. And then Jesus came up to them and issued that invitation. Come and follow me. Now, they weren't expecting this. They weren't even looking for this, the best that we know. But when Jesus came up and gave them that invitation, they had a choice that they had to make. That they could either choose to go about their business, to ignore the invitation that Jesus was giving them, or they could respond to it and follow him. And thankfully, those first followers, the ones we call disciples, they're the ones, the apostles, who chose to leave everything behind and to live with Jesus, to model what Jesus was teaching them, to live the way that Jesus lived. And as we look at that, we have to understand Jesus is giving the same invitation today to each person in this room, every person in the world. He's saying, will you follow me? And that's a choice you have to make, just like Peter and John and Andrew and all those who came before us. They had to make the choice to follow Jesus. And today, you have to make that choice. Am I going to be a follower of Christ? If you say yes, and you respond to the invitation that Jesus is giving you, he promises something else. He says, if you follow me, I will make you into fishers of men. I will make you into disciples who are making disciples who are making disciples. I will make you into the person that I want you to be, that I created you to be. And so the first part is the choice that you have to make. Am I going to follow Jesus? And then the second is a promise from him that if you truly follow him, not just say, hey, yeah, I'm a Christian, but truly follow him, read and study the scripture, spending time with him in prayer, being obedient to what the scripture teaches. When you do those things, he will make you into the follower that he would have you to be. And so as we look at this, this is so big because Jesus is trying to make me. He's trying to make you. He wants to. He desires to. But I have to do my part. If you want to be a follower of Jesus and you want to grow as a follower of Jesus, you have to spend time with him and you have to live your life like him. And some of those things, as we're going to see this morning, are not easy. Some of the commandments that he's given us, some of the way he modeled the way we're to live our life, some of these things really are not easy. And they require us to be selfless like He was. They require us to be forgiving like He was. They require us to put other people ahead of ourselves like He did. And when you do that, when you model the way that Jesus modeled His life for us, then you will grow. Being a disciple, I just want to make this clear. Most of you probably are familiar with this. To be a disciple of Jesus, to be a growing disciple of Jesus, takes time, it takes energy, and it takes sacrifice. So if you made a decision to follow Jesus years ago, but you feel like nothing's really changed or you really haven't grown, my question to you would be, have you put in the time in the Scripture? Have you put in the time in prayer? Have you sacrificed? Have you put others before yourself? See, those are the things that are going to help us to grow as Jesus makes us into the person that He wants us to be. This morning, we're going to look at what kingdom love looks like, the love of Jesus. And again, if you're a follower of Christ, we are commanded to love like Jesus loved. And we're going to get a picture of that this morning. And it's not easy. You know, it's not easy to live like a kingdom person. And I just want to say that I'm going to say it several times today. Because I don't want to stand up here and you get the impression that somehow I think this is easy to live like Christ lived. It's not. It's a sacrifice. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes dependence on Him. And if you're willing to do that, then He will make you into that kingdom person that He is talking about. So what is the goal of kingdom love? Luke records this for us in chapter 6 of his gospel. And I'm just going to read verses 37, 38, and 39. I wasn't going to go further today, but we would be here all day. And so I want to focus on these first few verses today, and then next week we'll finish up the rest of this. But in Luke 6, verse 37, he says, "Judge." This is the words of Jesus. "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it will be measured back to you." Let's pray about these words. Father, as we read the words of Jesus, these words we just read, He spoke 2,000 years ago. Father, these are principles to live by. These are principles that He modeled for each one of us. But Father, so often these are hard. And I pray that today that You would help each one of us to examine our own hearts, not the heart of the person beside us or the person that's not here today. But Father, we would examine our own hearts to see if we're loving the way that You have modeled for us to love. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I said this earlier again, it's some of the words that we see that Jesus tells us to do, they're difficult for us because the old man, and when I say the old man, I'm not talking about the guy up here with gray, I'm talking about the old nature, our old sinful nature. It's a very selfish nature. It's a very self-satisfying nature. We want it our way. We're taught that we can judge whoever we want to judge. We can condemn whoever we want to condemn. We can love whoever we choose to love. We can give to whoever we choose to give to. Because that old man, that old nature is very self-centered. But see, Jesus isn't talking to the old man. He's talking to us today that we are new creations. But we have been trained in such a way and we're modeled by people in the world and we've maybe even modeled it ourselves. That when somebody is doing us wrong, that somehow we can judge them. Somehow we can condemn them. But see, somebody doing you wrong, when you really get down to it, isn't that kind of subjective? Doesn't it really depend on what lens you're looking through as to whether it was truly, something that was against you? And there are many of you here today, and I want to give this disclaimer. I know there are many of you today that have experienced hurts in life like I can't imagine, that I would never know, could never really know about how you feel. I'm just telling you what Jesus said, okay? I'm just telling you, showing you what Jesus modeled for us. And Jesus modeled for us to love. How many times have you seen people get mad at someone and stay mad at someone and then later discover that maybe they had misinterpreted the events or the comments? I know I've done that so many times. And then I find out that you know, I just misinterpreted whatever was going on. How many times have we judged or been judged by others? I've done this so much. I'm not going to sit here and confess my sins before y'all, but you know, it's so easy when that old nature comes through for us to judge, for us to condemn other people. But Jesus tells us here what we're to do. So what does it look like? Let's look more closely at what Jesus is teaching us today. And again, I just can't overemphasize the fact that these are Jesus's words, okay? This isn't the pastor standing up telling you what he thinks to be the truth. We're reading the words of Jesus as they're recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke. And the first thing he says is, do not judge. He says, judge, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Let me just clear this up, okay? Because we have a lot of people that we throw that word judgmental around. This is not talking about assessing a person's spiritual condition and confronting sin. Jesus is saying, look, you don't need to assess your spiritual condition or someone else's when you are going against the scripture. It's okay to assess where somebody is and to confront sin as the scripture defines sin. He's not saying don't do that. As Christians, we're commanded to be discerning of our own spiritual condition and the spiritual condition of others. What Jesus is forbidding here, and I don't want to miss this, is the harsh, critical, compassionless, vengeful condemnation of our enemies as if we had the final judgment over them. Jesus is saying, look, you can't, I'm telling you, don't judge other people in this way. Don't judge them like you are the final authority in their life because you're not. That's God's job. Listen to what Jesus tells us just a few verses earlier in chapter 6. And this is verse 27, 28. It's not going to come up on the screen, so Deborah, don't panic. I didn't have this in there. These are the words, Jesus. But I say to you who hear, this is like last week. You're about to hear this, so you'll be without excuse, okay? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Now, that's not what we're taught to do in life, is it? But remember, we're not modeling the life of the old man. We're trying to model the life of Jesus Christ. We're trying to allow Jesus to make us. And when we do that, we have to be obedient. He says, love your enemies. Not easy. Do good to those who hate you. Just goes against our grain most of the time. Bless those who curse you. Don't bless them out. Didn't say that. It says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you or those who hurt you. And that doesn't mean pray that God will smite them or that God will somehow strike them down. You just pray that God will deal with your heart and that God will deal with their heart. So these things that Jesus is telling us, to love our enemies, to do good to those who these are hard things. To me, anyway, I hope y'all are all looking at me going, Pastor, I ain't got a problem with this. You're wasting your breath. But I imagine you're probably a lot like me, where there are these things that we struggle with because we've been hurt, because we want to defend ourselves. As I said in the beginning, these are some of the hardest teachings of Jesus. But what I want you to see, and if you're not a Christian, if you're here today and you are not a follower of Jesus, I want you to see this, that not only is Jesus telling us to do this, Jesus modeled it for you and he modeled it for me. He's not telling you to do something that he did not do first. And remember, when you allow him to make you, when you grow as a disciple, you are growing to live your life like Jesus lived his. Then Jesus said, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. When you condemn someone, you are setting yourself up as their executioner. Again, that's not your job. That's God's job. God says that vengeance is His. When you condemn someone, when you judge someone and condemn them, you are setting yourself in God's place. And Jesus says, don't do that. He says, if you condemn, then you will be condemned. He says here, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. The Bible makes it clear that this is God, what God does. This is not your responsibility. And remember this. This is so important because I forget this so often. Apart from God's grace, Christians would be no better off than those who rejected the message of Christ. Remember what you were saved from. Remember what you were saved to. And we are to live our life like Jesus lived His. Apart from Him, we would be condemned. Let's not condemn others. Let's do our part to help them be redeemed. When I thought about those words, to do our part to help others be redeemed, how often have I thought, I'm not going to put you in my place. So I go, that person is beyond help. That person is so far gone that there's no use to even try. Am I not judging them at that point? Am I not condemning them at that point? What if I put the energy and effort into doing my part to do everything I can to see them redeemed by Jesus Christ the way that I was? Because apart from Him, I'm in the same condition that they're in. We have what we just heard here are two negative approaches that you and I can take towards other people, to judge them and to condemn them. And this is your choice. I hope you understand this. So many times we feel like it's not our choice. You make the choice. I make the choice to judge people, and I make the choice to condemn people. Those are choices within my heart. But if I want to live like Jesus Christ lived, if I want to be the disciple that He created me to be, then I have to choose love. I have to choose to not judge them. I have to choose to not condemn them. This is big. Jesus said that we're to forgive and we're to give. Let me say this. Now, I've got this in bold. I know y'all don't need to hear this, but I have this in bold. I have it capitalized and I have it underlined. That it says, this is big. Don't miss it. So this is big. Don't miss it. You are never more like Jesus than when you choose to forgive someone. If you want to be like Jesus Christ, you will never be more like Him than when you choose to forgive someone who has wronged you, who has hurt you. Because that's what we did to Him, and yet He chose to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling, okay? Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice that each one of us make. And God made that choice. And when I think about my transgressions against God, whatever you do to me would never measure up to what I did against God. And yet He chose to forgive me. So who am I to not be forgiving? If I've trusted in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who am I to withhold forgiveness from somebody else? You are never more like Jesus Christ than when you choose to forgive someone. And remember, our goal is for Jesus to make us. Our goal is to live our life like Jesus lived His. See, God made the choice. God made the choice to forgive me of my sin. When God sent Jesus Christ to this earth, His one and only Son, who lived a perfect, sinless life, when God sent Him and Jesus chose to go to the cross to take on the penalty of my sin and your sin, that was God choosing to forgive me when I repent of my sin. God made that choice. Jesus made that choice because of His great love. And you and I have to make the choice to forgive others. Let me just take a time out. If you've never come to the point where you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, talk to me today before you leave so I can explain to you this great love that God has for you. when I think about how Jesus modeled, and I say he modeled so many things for us, and these aren't going to be on your screen. In Luke 23:34, Jesus has been betrayed. Jesus has been falsely accused. Jesus' disciples have deserted him. Jesus has been beaten and punished. And Jesus is hanging on the cross to pay for my sin and your sin. And listen to his words. In Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I have never been betrayed as Jesus was betrayed. And yet Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." That is forgiveness that Jesus modeled for you and me. When I think about Stephen in the book of Acts, Stephen has given his testimony before the Sanhedrin. Stephen has proclaimed Jesus Christ and salvation through Jesus and Jesus alone. And they chose to stone Stephen out of their anger. And so this angry mob of people are sitting there stoning him to death. And listen to his words in Acts 7:59-60. "And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice." Don't miss that. It's so important. He cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. When I look at the modeling of what Jesus did, you may be saying to yourself, "Yeah, but Jesus was fully God, fully man. He, you know, when he said forgive, that's what he was supposed to do because he was God." If you say that to me, I'm going to say, "Really? I don't, you know, that was huge." But if you don't believe that a man can do this, look at Stephen. Stephen was just like you and me. He was following Christ, and he did what Christ modeled. When they're stoning him to death, he said, "Forgive them." So if you don't think somebody like us today that we can live like that, we can. How could Stephen do that? Because he followed Christ. Because he invested the time and the energy into following Christ. He was sacrificial like Jesus was sacrificial. Offering that type of forgiveness is huge. And like I said earlier, this is hard, okay? Don't you think this is easy. But what it is, it's hard apart from Christ. So often in our walk with Christ, we try to do things on our own. I do anyway. And I call that doing them by the flesh. I try to do things by my own power. And when I try to do that, I'm not going to be able to forgive like that. But when I'm walking with Jesus, when I'm growing in my relationship with him, when I'm being like him, he will give me what I need to forgive like he forgave, like Stephen forgave. It becomes much easier when you recognize what Christ has saved you from, what he has forgiven you of. Then it comes much easier for you and for me to forgive other people. So he tells us to be forgiving. And I want to point out that when Jesus was on the cross and when Stephen was being stoned, that forgiveness they gave it out loud. Did you see where Stephen said loudly, with a loud voice, "Father, forgive them"? He didn't do this just within his mind. He did it where people could hear that. He modeled this level of forgiveness to those who were killing him. Jesus modeled this to those who were killing him. When they said, "Forgive them," they don't know what they're doing. So who am I to withhold forgiveness from somebody else when I received that from Jesus Christ? Jesus also tells us, further down in verse 38, "Give and it will be given to you." We're to be generous with other people. When you're generous towards others, they will be generous towards you. So here's a question. Are you generous with others? Are you generous towards others? Do you share your possessions? You know, when we share our possessions, a lot of times that's kind of easy. Because we have to realize as Christians that it all belongs to God. He's just made us stewards of it. We've talked about that the last several weeks. And so to be able to share with others what I know belongs to God, that's pretty easy for me to do. But more importantly, and this is a hard question, Are you generous with your forgiveness and with your love? See, that's what Jesus is telling us to do today, to be generous with our forgiveness and giving our love to other people. This is what Christ modeled for you, and this is what he expects each one of us to do. Next week, we're going to get into seeing what the parable he told on this, but I want to break this down just quickly because to me, these words are very straightforward and simple to hear, to even understand. But to live out, it requires energy. It requires time. It requires selflessness to live what Jesus is saying. So to go back over these words again, Jesus said, if you judge, you will be judged. He says, if you condemn, you will be condemned. He says, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And if you give, you will be given too. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? And see, when you think about it, and please excuse me if you think I'm emphasizing this too much, this is what's been modeled for you and for me. Jesus modeled this. The apostles modeled this. Christians who came before you and me have modeled this. And it's our turn to model this to a world that so desperately needs to see it. See, when you're generous to those in God's family and to your family and you're not judging them, I mean, it's kind of easy for us to do. But think about people who are outside of the faith. Think about those who are not yet Christians. When you do these things to them, when you don't judge them, when you don't condemn them, when you forgive them, when you are giving to them, how do they receive it? They probably look at you. I know they look at you because I used to do this and go, what are you doing? But when I say that, because it's so unexpected for us to treat people like this, when you do that and they say, what are you doing? I get to say, this is what Jesus did for me. And I'm trying to live my life like Jesus lived his. See, that's why we do this. When I emphasize letting Jesus make you, it's not for my benefit. It's so that you can be the kingdom person that he has created you to be. And I pray that you will do that. I hope that you pray that I will do that. Because anybody who knows me, has known me even 5 minutes, knows that I fall down so many times. And we must pray for one another. We must encourage one another as we look at this. When you do this for people who are outside of the faith, then they will trust you and they'll want to know why you are acting this way toward them. See, again, I'm going to say it one more time. God modeled this to you, and you are commanded by Jesus to model it to the world. Just a couple of short verses here, but so powerful. So my question for you today is this. I have a couple of questions. Have you received God's grace through Jesus Christ? You've heard me refer to people who are outside of the faith, who've not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. That question is for you. Have you received God's grace through Jesus Christ? See, God's not mad at you. God loves you. God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but you would be saved. Do you believe Jesus? And when I talk about believe, I'm not talking about this some intellectual saying, oh yeah, I believe God exists. This is the kind of belief that changes your life. It changes your heart. It changes your outlook. Because you're modeling your life after Jesus. You have received Jesus. You're living for Jesus. That's the kind of belief I'm talking about. The second question is this. Are you showing God's grace to those who are followers of Jesus and to those who are not? And here's my final question. Well, I got two. You should always ask yourself this when you read Scripture. What do you need to do because you have heard the words of Jesus today? What do you need to do because you have heard the words of Jesus today? How are you going to model what you've heard today from Jesus to the world? And that's a question each one of us has to answer for ourselves. Let's pray about this. Father, as we think about what Jesus has taught, I know for me these are just principles, these actions, they're hard. It's hard not to be judgmental. It's hard not to condemn other people for what I think they've done wrong. Father, it's hard to forgive when somebody has hurt us deeply. Father, it's hard to be generous with forgiveness so many times. I don't know what anybody in this room is facing in these areas, but I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if any one of us wants to live our life like Jesus lived his, then we need to do what he's telling us. He tells us, don't judge others or you'll be judged. Don't condemn others or you'll be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and you will be given to. Father, I pray that each one of us in here, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would understand these words and would answer the question, what do I need to do because I've heard these words today? That, Father, we would carefully consider, how am I going to model this to a world that so desperately needs to see it? Father, speak to our hearts. Give us the strength. Give us the courage to do what Jesus has told us to do. It's in his powerful name that we pray. Amen.